Hello and welcome to the Decorum Talking newspaper for the week ending Saturday the 24th of January 2026. This is Janet and your other readers are Alan, Amanda and Brian. The editor this week is Samida. All are members of Team 3. Most of our news items are taken from the Hemel Hempstead, Berkhamsted and Tring Gazette and Express newspaper. All telephone numbers are on the local code of 01442 unless stated otherwise. The headlines this week are Historic House Can Transform into a Hotel, Motorist Killed in Collision, E-Bike Hire Scheme Set for Trial. These and other stories follow. Here is the news.
Hello, this is Alan. Ashridge House near Berkhamsted can now be used as a hotel after Decorum Borough Council's planning committee agreed to a change of use. Currently, the 206 rooms at the site are available only to those attending conferences or other events there. A council planning officer said, "This application does not propose the creation of any additional bedrooms. Rather, it simply seeks planning permission for the existing rooms to be used to leisure guests, i.e. for those not attending Ashridge House for the purpose of a wedding, conference or residential stay at the management hotel. Essentially, this will enable better utilisation of the permitted accommodation at times when it is not currently fully occupied." Council officers, who recommend that councillors approve the development at the planning committee meeting on January 8th, said that the change of use would provide additional revenue to support the required repairs and maintenance of the Grade 1 listed Ashridge House and the Grade 2 listed Park and Gardens. Councillor William Allen described the property as a really real jewel in the borough, while Councillor Jan Madden said Ashridge is a stunning, beautiful, very important local building. "There are really hard times now, and if this is going to ensure the longevity of this as a building in use, then I would absolutely support it." Ashridge House dates back to 1808 and has gardens designed by Humphrey Repton and Capability Brown. Around 28 of the rooms are located within the main house, with the remaining 178 elsewhere in the grounds. The total of 433 parking spaces is below the council's expected standard, but scenario modelling showed that there would be sufficient parking.
Hello, I am Amanda. A teenage motorcyclist has died from his injuries after a three-vehicle crash in Hemel Hempstead. The collision, which involved a motorbike, Nissan van and DAS gas truck, took place on Gadsden Row in the town at around 3 p.m. on Friday, January 16th. Police said the motorbike and van were travelling towards Jockey End while the DAS gas truck was travelling in the opposite direction. The rider of the motorcycle, aged 17, was taken to hospital with serious injuries and died in the early hours of January 17th. Detective Constable Lottie Lewis from the Beds, Cams and Hearts Roads Policing Unit said, "If you witnessed the collision, could you please contact the police with information? I'm particularly keen to speak to anyone with a dash cam and who was driving in the area at the time in case they recorded any important footage. Anyone with information is asked to contact Hertfordshire Police via their website or call the 101 number, quoting Op Fulham. Information can also be reported anonymously via Crime Stoppers by calling 0800 555111.
Hello, this is Brian. An e-bike hire scheme looks set to be introduced in Hemel Hempstead on a 3-year trial. Dacorum Borough Council report prepared on behalf of Councillor Adrian England, portfolio holder for Place, outline plans for the scheme ahead of a behind closed doors section of a committee meeting on January 13th. The project will be funded through the Council's Community Infrastructure Levy pot, which is paid into by developers as a contribution to infrastructure in the area. Assuming the scheme is signed off by the Council's Liberal Democrat Cabinet next month, it will then go out to tender to find a provider who can run the service. The aim is for the scheme to run for an initial trial period of 3 years, with the option of extending for a further 2 years. A council report said making e-bikes available for hire would help reduce carbon emissions, cut congestion, and improve health and well-being. The report said, currently in Hemel Hempstead, travelling between locations within the town is very challenging without the use of a private car due to poor public transport connectivity and the location of the rail stations. The council is aiming for 40% of journeys within Hemel Hempstead to be made using active and sustainable modes of transport. Similar e-bike hire schemes already operate elsewhere in Hertfordshire, including Watford, Hartsmere, Three Rivers and Stevenage. A council report added, depending on the success of the scheme and availability of funding, it may be extended and or expanded into other areas of the borough and adjoining areas. The report also said the council may explore funding from the government or county council for the scheme, as well as looking into sponsorship from local businesses after it is up and running.
This week in history, on January the 25th, 1924, the first Winter Olympics began at Chamonix in France. On this day last year, 4 female Israeli soldiers who were taken in the attack that sparked the war in Gaza returned to Israel after Hamas militants paraded them before a crowd of thousands in Gaza City before handing them over to the Red Cross. On January 26, 2009, James Cameron's film Avatar became the top-grossing film of all time, beating his 1997 movie Titanic. On this day last year, Sir Keir Starmer and Donald Trump discussed the importance of close and warm ties between Britain and the US and agreed to meet soon in their first call since the inauguration, Downing Street said. On January the 27th, 1992, Jennifer Flowers accused Arkansas Governor Bill Clinton of being a liar after he denied having a 12-year affair with her. On January the 28th, 1908, the London Playhouse Theatre opened. On this day last year, Wyn Evans said he was deeply sorry for the pain my inappropriate actions have caused, as he announced he would be taking some time out from his BBC Radio Wales show and the Strictly Come Dancing live tour to prioritise his well-being.
Labour MPs across Hertfordshire have this week called for immediate action after Hertfordshire was given an amber rating for its pothole performance in the first ever release of such data. The ranking was announced just before National Pothole Day, January 15th, and demonstrates that Hertfordshire needs to do more to deliver road improvements for residents. The government has doubled the annual road budget and is backing local authorities with a record $7.3 billion multi-year funding settlement. The new rating system and record multi-year funding settlement represent a major shift in how the government supports councils to maintain their roads. This change moves away from short-term fixes towards sustainable preventative maintenance that delivers better value for money and improved road conditions for years to come. By ending the sticking plaster approach and moving towards long-term integrated settlements, the government is empowering councils to deliver better roads for local people. Following the announcement, Labour MPs across Hertfordshire have written to the council leader of Hertfordshire County Council expressing their disappointment at the rating and encouraging them to use every penny of record funding to improve local roads. At the election, Labour promised to fix an extra million potholes a year by the end of this Parliament. To achieve this aim, the government has doubled the annual roads budget and is backing local authorities with a record £7.3 billion multi-year funding settlement. The new traffic light ratings are designed to shine a light on where more needs to be done by local highways authorities to deliver change people can see in their communities. While the government is providing record investment of £180 million across Hertfordshire, this week's amber rating suggests that Hertfordshire County Council faces difficulties in delivering value for money and smooth journeys for local drivers. Commenting on the announcement, Hemel's MP David Taylor said, "Residents in Hemel and the villages are rightly frustrated by the state of our roads, and this amber rating highlights that Hertfordshire is falling far short of what our community expects and deserves." With the government putting record funding into road maintenance, it is vital that Hertfordshire County Council is in the best possible position to use that money effectively and does not continue to allow our infrastructure to crumble. Heidi Alexander, the Secretary of State for Transport, added, "For too long, drivers have paid the price because our roads were left to deteriorate. I have heard time and again their frustration on footing the bill because they hit a pothole, money they should never have had to spend in the first place. We've put our money where our mouth is now, increasing the funding for local highway authorities with £7.3 billion to fix roads and given them the long-term certainty they have been asking for. Now it's over to them to spend the money wisely, and for the first time, we are making sure the public can see how well councils are doing in delivering the improvements they want to see in their local area. This government's record investment will save drivers money on repairs, make roads safer, and help restore pride in our communities."
Hertfordshire County Council, HCC, is to wind down a company it set up to buy, develop and sell property. Hearts Living Limited, HLL, was launched in 2017 in a bid to capitalise financially on the development potential of the council's own surplus land. Since then, it has delivered 300 homes across 12 sites, either independently or in partnership with another company. But according to HCC draft budget proposals for 2026 to 2027 being discussed last week, the company has been unable to fully meet its delivery ambitions, and the decision has been taken to carry out a managed closure. The decision was taken by the Council's Cabinet in private last June, in a part of the meeting where public and press were excluded. It is highlighted in the budget proposals that were presented to a meeting of the Council's Cabinet on January the 14th. A spokesperson for HCC said, Cabinet has approved the wind-down and eventual closure of the council-owned property company Hearts Living Limited, HLL. While the financial returns from HLL are similar to disposing of surplus property assets via the open market, they are sensitive to market volatility, which combined with a number of other economic, legislative and operational pressures, led to the decision to withdraw from the development activity. We thank everyone involved with HLL for their work and will work closely with them and other partners to carefully manage the wind down of the company to ensure existing commitments are met. HLL was primarily created to deliver the Council's joint venture, JV, housing development vehicle, Chalk Dean. In 2019, it was agreed that the company could also bring forward small sites for independent development and sale. Of the 300 homes developed, 52 were delivered solely by HLL and the remainder as part of the Chalk Dean JV. Despite these achievements, HLL has been unable to fully meet its delivery ambitions due to various legislative, commercial and financial factors, says the report. Whilst the County Council has supported HLL to address these issues, like all local authorities, it continues to face significant financial challenges itself. Consequently, a strategic review was undertaken to assess the impact of these challenges and determine the balance of risk and reward to the County Council of maintaining versus winding down the company. In June 2025, Cabinet considered a report on HLL's future strategic direction and approved the decision to commence the wind down of HLL's activities with the aim of carrying out a managed closure of the company. The document says that as part of HCC's investment, loans were made to HLL by the Council on a commercial basis. These enabled the company to buy surplus land from the Council and to fund development that would result in a capital receipt to the Council. Repayment of the loans occurred as proceeds from developments were realised. No new loans will be made to the company, but existing commitments, yet to be drawn down, are expected to be met. The draft budget proposals are set to be scrutinised in a series of meetings before being put to a meeting of the full council on February the 17th.
Police are hunting four men whose faces were covered by ski-type masks after a victim was pushed off his bike and had his phone stolen in Hemel Hempstead. Hearts Police are appealing for any witnesses to come forward following the incident, which police say occurred at around 2 p.m. on Monday the 29th of December 2025 on the canal towpath near the B&Q on Two Waters Road, What Three Words location, tall.axed.venues. The victim was approached by four unknown males, all described as wearing dark clothing and ski-type masks, who pushed him from his pedal cycle and took his mobile phone. PC Sarah Scanlon, who is investigating the incident, said, I'm appealing to anyone who may have witnessed the incident to come forward with any information. Were you around the canal towpath around the time of the incident, or do you have any information that may help the investigation? Please get in touch with me via email at sarah.scanlon@hearts.police.uk. You can also report information online at heartspolice.uk/report. Speak to an operator in our force communications room via our online web chat at heartspolice.co.uk/contact, or call the non-emergency number 101, quoting crime reference 41/122874/25. Alternatively, you can stay 100% anonymous by contacting the independent charity Crime Stoppers on 0800 555 111 or via their untraceable online form at crimestoppers.org. cycling-uk.org.
A man was arrested after he was seen driving a stolen vehicle erratically through Hemel Hempstead. 24-year-old David Garrett from Warners End Road was arrested on the morning of Wednesday, January the 7th, after a vehicle was stolen from a residential driveway overnight. Garrett was detained after police received reports of a vehicle being driven erratically through the town. The vehicle was followed by police and came to a stop once its tyres deflated. After his arrest, Garrett was charged with four counts of vehicle interference, theft of a motor vehicle, dangerous driving, driving otherwise than in accordance with a licence, and driving without insurance. Garrett appeared at Hatfield Magistrates Court on January the 8th and pleaded guilty to all offences. He was remanded in custody ahead of a sentencing hearing at St Albans Crown Court on Friday, January the 30th.
A man from Hemel Hempstead has been extradited to Belgium for his involvement in a people smuggling ring which led to thousands of migrants being transported from France into the UK on small boats. Saifur Rahman Amadzai, 24, of Nash Green in Hemel Hempstead, was arrested on December 30th, 2024, and convicted by a court in Belgium for his involvement with the gang who organised the transport of migrants from Afghanistan through Iran, Turkey and the Balkans and into Western Europe, mainly France and Belgium. The gang are suspected of transporting thousands of people on small boats from France into the UK. The group committed serious sexual offences against male migrant minors, including rape, which they would film before using footage to blackmail the victims into criminality and further sexual abuse. Ahmed Zayi was jailed for 10 years for his part in the gang's activity and fined £3,000. Ahmed Zayi was extradited to Belgium in June 2025, while fellow gang member Zisham Banghis, 21 of New Kent Road in London, who was sentenced to 3 years behind bars, was extradited on January 15th, 2026. Both men will serve the remainder of their sentences in a Belgian jail. 21 other members of the gang were convicted and sentenced for their involvement and were issued jail terms of between 2 and 18 years. The extradition case against the third man, Ziamal Khan, of Grove Lane in Uxbridge, was discontinued. Head of the National Crime Agency's National Extradition Unit, Andy Kelly, said, "This gang operated across the globe and piled misery on migrants that they transported, all for the sake of making a profit." Many of these people would have been extremely vulnerable, which makes it all the more shocking that disgraceful sexual offences were committed against some of them. Our joint investigation with Belgian law enforcement is another example of international action succeeding against a global threat. These extraditions display a very strong message that work to disrupt and dismantle the gangs behind this horrendous trade, and we will never slow down.
A new artificial pitch and clubhouse can be built at a Tring Sports Club after Decorum Borough Council agreed to grant planning permission for the development. Tornadoes Sports Education and Leisure asked the council for permission to replace an existing grass pitch at their Pendley Sports Centre home in Cow Lane. They said that their 750 football-playing members were suffering from a high percentage of matches and training sessions being called off due to the condition of the current playing facilities, with between a third and a quarter of matches and sessions cancelled over the past 6 years. That should be set to change after the Council's Planning Committee voted in favour of the proposed development at its meeting on January 8th. Councillor Jan Madden said, "The new facilities would be great," while Councillor Pete Hannell said that he had a big desire in trying to promote football within Decorum. He praised those who dedicated their valuable time to helping young boys and girls improve at playing football and said the application for the new pitch ticked all the boxes. The site is currently home to 2 11-a-side football pitches and 2 smaller training pitches, with one of the 11-a-side pitches to be converted to an artificial pitch under the new plans. The artificial pitch could also be used for small-sided games ranging from 5-a-side to 9-a-side. It will be surrounded by a 4.5-metre-high perimeter fence and have 8 16-metre-high floodlight columns to allow for football in the evenings. The new 2-storey clubhouse will include a covered coaching area, 4 changing rooms, a first floor viewing terrace and social space. It will have timber cladding and a wildflower green roof to help it blend in with its greenbelt surroundings.
St Albans and District MenCap is delighted to thank the incredible children, staff and families of King's Langley School for raising an outstanding £4,436 through a gruelling 7.5-kilometre sponsored walk, including litter picking along the route. Each student throughout the school took part in the biennial challenge, demonstrating not only determination and teamwork, but also a strong sense of community responsibility by helping to care for their local environment. The walk was a fantastic achievement and a wonderful example of young people coming together to make a real difference. The funds raised will make a significant and lasting impact on St Albans MenCap's work supporting children and young people with learning disabilities and autism, as well as their families in the local area. In particular, the donation will directly support the charities SNAP and Trinity schemes. The SNAP programme provides total vital support, activities and short breaks for children with young people and young people with additional needs, helping them build confidence, independence and friendship in a safe and inclusive environment. The Trinity scheme supports adults, offering opportunities to develop life skills, social connections and greater independence. The generous donation will help ensure these much needed services can continue and grow, reaching more families who rely on St Albans MenCap for support. David Keane, Chair of St Albans and District MenCap, said, "We are incredibly grateful to the children of King's Langley School for this amazing achievement. Raising £4,436 through such a positive and community-minded event is truly inspiring. This money will make a real difference to the children, their families and adults who use our SNAP and Trinity schemes. And we cannot thank everyone involved enough." St Albans MenCap would also like to thank the teachers, school staff, parents and supporters who helped organise and sponsor the walk, making the day such a success.
Finance chiefs have earmarked £10 million for work on local government reorganisation, known as LGR, as part of Hertfordshire County Council's 2026-27 budget proposals. Hertfordshire currently operates under an upper two-tier system of local government, with the County Council above 10 district and borough councils. The County Council operates services including social care, children's services, highways, public health, trading standards, waste disposal, libraries and the fire and rescue service. The district and borough councils are responsible for planning, housing, waste collection and parking within their boundaries. By April 2028, those 11 councils are expected to be replaced by 2, 3 or 4 unitary authorities, each of which would be responsible for all local services within their areas. Last November, Hertfordshire County Councils submitted proposals to the government for how many unitary authorities they would like to see the county divided into. Within weeks, the government is expected to launch its own consultation on LGR, which is scheduled to be in place by April 2028. According to the County Council, the substantial costs of transitioning to a unitary structure are in the region of £50 million. Its draft budget document for the financial year, starting in April, allocates £10 million for LGR, with additional funds expected to be made available by the 10 district and borough councils. The document says, given the short timeline and the requirement to disaggregate services in all cases between now and until April 28, the County Council will need to proceed with transition work ahead of the government decision in summer 2026. Overall, the Council's draft 2026-27 budget document outlines how a £1.2 billion revenue spend will be used to deliver services for the county's population of 1.2 million people, including the need for £55 million of savings and a 4.99% rise in council tax. The £10 million budget for LGR costs would be funded by capital receipts. On Wednesday, January the 14th, a meeting of the Council's Cabinet backed the draft budget proposals. They will now be scrutinised over the next month before the budget is ultimately determined by a meeting of the full Council on February the 17th.
Kirsty Jackson has joined leading day nursery provider Partou as childcare and operations director. Part of the largest childcare group in the Netherlands, Partou operates more than 100 settings across the UK, including Bourne Explorers in Hemel Hempstead. Ms. Jackson previously spent more than 7 years at Kids Planet, leading quality and early years practice across a national portfolio of over 250 settings. Bringing extensive experience in quality safeguarding and early years provision, Kirsty also offers strong operational experience gained through senior leadership roles overseeing multiple nursery portfolios. In these positions, she successfully balanced educational excellence with operational delivery and commercial performance. Samantha Rhodes, Partou Managing Director, said, "At Partou, our mission is to build a better tomorrow through early years care, creating safe, joyful, and trusting environments where children can explore, discover, and grow. To further progress this work, we are strengthening our leadership and support across safeguarding, quality, and operations, ensuring every Partou nursery and team around the country possesses the highest levels of expertise and guidance." Kirsty is a highly experienced early years professional and an ideal fit as our new childcare and operations director. "It's a great appointment for Partou. We are thrilled to have her on board," Kirsty said. "I'm passionate about creating safe, inspiring, and inclusive environments where children flourish, families feel assured, and teams feel supported to grow. This is a challenging but hugely important time for the early years sector and an exciting moment to be joining Partou. There is a strong sense of ambition, a momentum across the organisation, with a number of innovative plans taking shape for 2026. I am really looking forward to getting started and contributing to the next chapter of Partu's journey.
More than 800 motorists were stopped in Hertfordshire as part of a national crackdown on drink and drug driving over the festive period. The Road Policing Unit stopped 856 people in December, with 382 breath tests and 56 drug wipes conducted as part of the annual campaign targeting motorists who choose to get behind the steering wheel whilst under the influence of drugs or alcohol. A total of 69 people were subsequently arrested on suspicion of driving whilst unfit through alcohol or drugs. Road Policing Unit Chief Inspector Gary Webb said, "Our officers were out in force across Beds, Cams and Harts to ensure people were abiding to the laws of the road and not drinking and or taking drugs and driving. As well as proactive patrols and acting on reports and intelligence, officers conducted stop site operations across the county. Unfortunately, some people still continue to break the law, which is unacceptable behaviour. We do thank those who celebrated safely and planned ahead by either booking taxis or nominating a designated driver. We want to stress that this is something we look out for all year round, not just during the festive season. So our advice continues to be, always avoid alcohol or taking drugs if you are driving. Alcohol impairs your judgment and makes reactions slower, which significantly increases the chance of being involved in a collision."
Three cars were stolen after thieves smashed into a car showroom in Marsworth last month. The break-in took place at SMT Automotive at just before 9 p.m. on December the 16th and cost the business more than £100,000. Two of the stolen vehicles, a BMW X5 and Mercedes E53, have been recovered with false number plates. However, a limestone grey Volkswagen Golf R remains missing. In a social media post, the business wrote, "We're a family-run business, built from the ground up, with years of hard work, long days, and the support of our staff, customers, friends and family. To arrive and find our showroom broken into and cars stolen was absolutely devastating." Director Ricky Thakra and his girlfriend watched events unfold on his phone, triggered by the alarm system, as hooded and masked intruders smashed into the showroom. They arrived to find showroom doors smashed, glass everywhere, stock damaged and vehicles missing. Ricky added, "Our team at SMT Automotive were incredible. Staff came in at short notice to help clear glass, move vehicles, secure what we could, and try to make the site safe again." A Thames Police spokesperson said, "On December 16th, around 9 p.m, we received a report of a burglary at a business premises in Lower End Tring. Three vehicles were stolen and two have been recovered by officers. We are still looking for a grey Golf R, which has not yet been located. Our investigation continues and we ask anyone with any information to please contact us online or via 101, quoting reference 432 506 386 64.
Couples in Hertfordshire may soon have to make a financial commitment before saying "I do" as part of budget proposals being considered by the County Council. Currently, those booking a registrar for a wedding or civil partnership do not have to pay a penny for the service until their big day. But last year, around 500 couples made such a booking only to cancel later. As well as preventing others from booking that particular date, it incurs additional costs for the registrar service that are not always recovered. So now, Hertfordshire County Council, which operates the registration and citizenship service, has drawn up plans to charge couples for the ceremony at the time of booking. The fee would be paid on the understanding that if they were to cancel, a deposit of £75 would be retained by the council, and in the local democracy reporting service understands that deposits would be returned only where there was exceptional mitigating circumstances for a cancellation. The cost-cutting measure is included in draft budget proposals, which were formally presented to the Council's Cabinet on Wednesday, January the 14th. Meanwhile, there are also plans to extend the U and 2 marriage ceremony, which is attended by only the couple and two witnesses at a register office. Currently, a civil ceremony at one of the county's register offices costs between £455 and £643, and at an approved venue, between £558 and £708. The U and 2 ceremony costs just £169. Until now, this cut price option has not been available for civil partnerships, but there are plans to extend the offer to such couples. A spokesperson for the council said, each year our registrars are proud to officiate hundreds of weddings and civil partnerships, seeing loving couples declare their commitment to each other. As part of our proposals for the new financial year, we are exploring the option to build upon the success of U and 2 civil marriages, offering civil partnership couples an intimate, less expensive ceremony at our register offices to celebrate their union. In addition to expanding our offer to couples, we will be making a small change to the way in which weddings and civil partnerships are booked and paid for. From April, couples will be required to pay for their ceremony at the time of booking, and this will include the non-refundable fee, which covers the costs we incur when undertaking preparations at the early stage of the process, should the booking be cancelled. According to the budget proposals, the introduction of the non-returnable deposit, described as a cancellation fee, and the U and 2 civil partnerships and deletion of a staff vacancy is expected to save £67,000. The draft budget proposals were backed by the Council's Cabinet. They will now be scrutinised in a series of meetings before being put to a meeting of the full Council on February the 17th.
The 4,000 oil-heated homes in Hertfordshire are being urged not to miss their chance to speak out after thousands of households across England responded to a government consultation on the future of home heating in just a few weeks. More than 3,000 homes on oil heating have already made a submission to the government's new Alternative Clean Heating consultation, which will determine the technologies people may be able to use to heat their home. In the responses, households have been calling on the government to support renewable liquid fuels, such as hydro-treated vegetable oil, amid concerns over the potential costs of the alternative solutions on offer for oil-heated homes. The government's current preference is for these homes off the gas grid to switch to heat pumps or heat networks. However, according to the consultation, for someone with an existing oil heating system, the cost to switch to a heat pump is stated as £16,900. For harder to treat buildings, it could be even higher. This means, even with a £7,500 grant available through the boiler upgrade scheme, many households would still have to pay thousands more on top. As a result, the so-called heat pump first approach is under increasing scrutiny, as harder to heat homes will also need an additional disruptive work, from adding insulation to new radiators, for a heat pump to work effectively. Recognising some of these challenges and the technical limitations, the government has invited households to share their views, so they can explore alternative heating solutions, including renewable liquid fuels, as part of this new consultation. The liquid fuel heating industry argues these renewable liquid fuels could be initially introduced as a blend with kerosene. This would work immediately in any existing oil boiler and significantly reduce emissions without the need for additional upfront costs and disruption. This approach has already been demonstrated across 150 properties as part of an industry demonstration project. Industry Trade Association, Oftec, which runs an off-grid registration scheme for technicians, and UKIF-DA, which represents liquid fuel distributors, are distributing their evidence from these trials to the consultation. As part of the Future Ready Fuel campaign, they are urging the number of heated homes in county to also respond to the consultation to ensure they are given more of a choice of affordable, practical, low-carbon solutions. Oftec CEO Paul Rose and UKIF-DA CEO Ken Cronin commented, "It's very encouraging to see over 1,000 oil-heated households have already responded to this new consultation in just a few weeks. This reflects the strength of feeling among homes on oil that they want affordable and practical solutions when it comes to switching to cleaner heating solutions. Current proposals often overlook the unique challenges of heating older properties, which those of us living in rural areas are all too aware of. We believe a fair transition must focus on choice and include options like renewable liquid fuels, which allow households to decarbonise without the stress of major building work or unmanageable costs." The good news is submitting your review is quick, easy and free. With only a few weeks remaining before the consultation closes, we urge households across the county to take this opportunity to ensure that their voices are heard. The Alternative Clean Heating Consultation closes on 10th February 2026. For more information about the Future Ready Fuel campaign, visit futurereadyfuel.info/consultation.
The Traitor's star Leanne Quigley is urging people to kickstart the new year by signing up to Cancer Research UK's Race for Life in Hertfordshire. The charity's Much Love events will be taking place across the UK from May to July as communities go all in against cancer to raise funds for life-saving research. Anyone who signs up in January can claim 30% off the entry fee as part of a New Year sale by using the code RFL26NY. Every year, around 38,200 people are diagnosed with cancer in the east of England. Money raised at Race for Life enables scientists to find new ways to prevent, detect and treat the disease, moving closer to a world where everyone can live longer, better lives, free from the fear of cancer. Race for Life events, suitable for all ages and abilities, will take place at Stanborough Park in Welwyn and Hatfield on Sunday the 17th of May, featuring 3K, 5K and 10K routes along with the popular Pretty Muddy 5K obstacle course and a Pretty Muddy kids option. In St Albans, 3K, 5K and 10K events will be held at Verulamium Park on Sunday 12th of July. Leanne Quigley took part in Race for Life with her fiancé, Sophie Jones, after Sophie was diagnosed with breast cancer in July 2024. The couple led a team who raised more than £1,200 by completing a Pretty Muddy event last summer, an emotional milestone which marked the end of almost a year of treatment. Sophie, 33, who is now in remission, had 5 rounds of chemotherapy in total, followed by 2 weeks of radiotherapy to treat HER2-positive breast cancer. Cancer Research UK scientists carried out work that was key in the development of the breast cancer drug Herceptin, which is among the treatments Sophie received. They also led clinical trials to show Herceptin improves survival. Now this is the gold standard of care for this type of breast cancer, helping more women survive the disease. Leanne, 30, said, "I'm all in against cancer. It was incredibly hard watching Sophie, the person I love, go through cancer and it put life into perspective. It was our gang, our close family and friends, who got us through the toughest of times. Crossing the finish line at Race for Life with these people was unforgettable. Sophie is back at work now. We're planning our wedding and our twin boys turn 3 in January, so there's plenty to look forward to. And we're supporting Race for Life to help others facing cancer right now. Cancer Research UK's Race for Life raises millions of pounds for life-saving research every year. Since it began in 1994, more than 10 million people have taken part in Race for Life, funding 30 years of hope and progress. Over the past 50 years, Cancer Research UK funded scientists have helped to nearly double breast cancer survival in the UK. The charity also helped prove the link between tobacco and cancer, preventing millions of deaths worldwide. To enter, visit raceforlife.org.
Now we come to the information slot. This includes the obituaries, what's on, and any more news. We would like to thank our sponsors, RL Supplies, who have over 30 years' experience in the repair of PCs, laptops, tablets, etc. Telephone 01923 896 996, website rlsupplies.co.uk. The obituaries in the Gazette this week are Brenda Reed Bennett of Berkhamsted, aged 94, Colin Dunstone, aged 90, and Joan Green. May they all rest in peace.
What's on at the cinemas? H is for Hawk. After losing her beloved father, Helen finds herself saved by an unlikely friendship with a stubborn hawk named Mabel. Through the bond, Helen rediscovers the beauty of being alive. Mercy. In the near future, a detective stands on trial accused of murdering his wife. He has 90 minutes to prove his innocence to the advanced AI judge he once championed before it determines his fate. No other choice. Mansu, a specialist in paper manufacturing with 25 years of experience, is so satisfied with life that he can truthfully tell himself, "I've got it all." While happily passing his days with his wife, their 2 children and 2 dogs, he's suddenly told that he's been fired. He has decisions to make. Return to Silent Hill. When a mysterious letter calls him back to Silent Hill in search of his lost love, James finds a once recognisable town and encounters terrifying figures, both familiar and new, and begins to question his own sanity. The Voice of Hindrajab, January 24, Red Crescent volunteers receive an emergency call. A 6-year-old girl is trapped in a car under fire in Gaza, pleading for rescue. While trying to keep her on the line, they're doing everything they can to get an ambulance to her. Hamnet. This film tells the powerful love story that inspired the creation of Shakespeare's timeless masterpiece, Hamlet.
What's on? Rotary Hemel Hempstead Charity Quiz Night. Saturday, 31st of January at 7 for 7:30 p.m. at John F. Kennedy School. Ticket price £17.50, and tickets are available from Leslie Meredith on 07788 987652, or Alan Wright 07710 538 581.
What's on Watford Palace Theatre? Spring is fast approaching, and with the new season comes an exciting new play booking now. The Mesmerist, starring Rufus Hound, from One Man, Two Governors at the National Theatre, A Christmas Carol, A Ghost Story at Birmingham Repertory Theatre. The Mesmerist is a mystery, a drama, an adventure and a magic show all in one. Rufus explores the legacy of his magician grandfather and finds himself tumbling down a rabbit hole of strange discoveries and twisty illusions. Perhaps the audience will tumble with him. After all, no two performances of this play are the same. In other news, the brand new upcoming Free Friends scheme comes with an exciting opportunity to see The Mesmerist before anyone else. In addition to a range of nifty perks, the first 200 people to register interest will get 2 complimentary tickets each to see The Mesmerist dress rehearsal, 6:30 p.m. 27th and 28th of February. Register your interest by emailing marketing@watfordpalacetheatre.co.uk.
What's on music? T-Rextasy, The Greatest Hits Tour, the Auburn Arena, St Albans, January 30th. Mark Bolan and T-Rex were among the most flamboyant, charismatic stars of the original glam rock era, with hits including 20th Century Boy and Metal Guru. Call 01727 844 488 to book. Hometown Glory, Candlelit Concert, A Tribute to Adele, the Auburn Arena, St Albans, January 31st. Natalie Black's acclaimed tribute includes songs from Adele's 4 albums, including Set Fire to the Rain, Make You Feel My Love, Someone Like You, and I Drink Wine. Call 01727 844 488 to book. George Harrison Project, Denby Theatre Tring, January 30th. The special live music tribute to George Harrison features his most loved hits from the Beatles, his solo career, and the Traveling Wilburys. After his time in the Beatles, George Harrison enjoyed a successful solo career, releasing 12 studio albums, including Living in the Material World, Cloud Nine, Brainwashed, and the classic triple album All Things Must Pass. He also formed the supergroup The Traveling Wilburys with Bob Dylan, Jeff Lynne, Roy Orbison and Tom Petty. The hit back show includes My Sweet Lord, Here Comes the Sun, Something, While My Guitar Gently Weeps, Got My Mind Set on You, All Things Must Pass, Handle with Care, Taxman, Give Me Love, What Is Life, and If I Needed Someone. Visit denbytheatre.org to book.
And now for some sports news. Hemel Storm's struggles continued with a 105-77 defeat against Reading Rockets at Loddon Valley Leisure Centre on Saturday. Braden Inger and Matt Norman impressed with 23 and 22 points respectively, but ultimately they were in vain as their side fell to a 10th loss of the BCB League season in their first game since Taylor Johnson's departure. Storm simply could not deal with the all-round threat posed by the Rockets, who had 6 men in double digits scoring for the night. American Jax Buchnight led it with 22 and Victor Olararin had 21, while there were double doubles for Tyne and Sangu and Cooper Creek. Jake Rotherge's side again lost the rebound battle, but the main difference between the teams came in the shooting percentages. The Rockets shot 54% from the field compared to Storm's 45%, and the gulf was even wider from behind the three-point arc, 52% to 35%. That highlights both the skill of Storm's opponents, who moved top of the table after the weekend's results, and the quality of opportunities Storm's defence afforded them, as well as their lack of confidence and rhythm at the other end. Storm found themselves with an early 8-point advantage, but that was quickly pulled back by the hosts. A 10-0 Rockets run gave them the lead, one which they would not cede for the remainder of the clash. 7 straight points took them to an extraordinary 34 at the end of the first quarter, 13 greater than Storm's 21. Inga had a point to prove at the start of the second period, combining with Norman to reduce their arrears to 9, but the hosts finished the half stronger, extending their lead to 15 with the score 60-45 at the break. A reaction was required from Storm after a prolonged half-time team talk, but it didn't arrive, and just over 3 minutes in, the deficit was at 24. A lack of rebounding once more cost Storm dearly, as a series of second-chance points strengthened the host's grip on the game, with any route back fast disappearing for the guests. It was 84-65 at the final break, with a lot of work to be done, and it proved too much to ask as Storm's offence stuttered, registering only 12 fourth-quarter points as Reading's academy boys finished the job, a convincing victory for the high-flying Rockets. There's lots of learning to do for Storm, and it'll be another week of hard work in training before they're back on the floor on Saturday at home against Birmingham Rockets. Tickets for that one are available on Fanbase.
Lee Allinson couldn't hide his disappointment after seeing his Hemel Hempstead Town side beaten 3-0 at home to Slough Town on Saturday. 3 first-half goals did the damage for the Tudors. Miscommunication between skipper Carl Ajayi and keeper Michael Johnson resulted in the opening goal, while Ajayi was then shown a straight red card 9 minutes from time for a foul. And it left Allinson to take the rare step of criticising his players while talking to the club's media after the game. He said, "You won't often hear me say this because I'm very protective of the players, but I have to say a massive apology for that first half performance. It was the worst one of the season. I thought we were well in the game, and then a moment of madness. I don't know what happened, and I'll need to see it again with Kyle and MJ, but it must have sent shockwaves through the group because we completely lost our way and our discipline. We lost our shape, and everything about us that we're really good at was completely thrown out of the window. That's really frustrating. My wingers were defending too deep. My forwards weren't getting hold of the ball. My midfield weren't getting close to anyone. And my centre-halves and full-backs were run all over by their two forwards. In the second half, we came out with some energy and some spirit of fight, which I always think we will do, but by then it's too late. You need to score early and have a go. And their keepers made a great save, to be fair, from Ollie Davis, but it was too little, too late. I was actually okay with the second half, as we were well in it, but the damage was done. Losing to Slough won't be the reason we don't get in the playoffs, but ill discipline will be, and it's frustrating because we now lose our skipper for the next 3 games. Hemel are back on the road this weekend when they go to Maidstone United in the National League South."
We're coming to the end of this week's news. Sunrise and sunset times for this weekend are 07:52 and 16:37. Don't forget, for those with access to the internet, our news is uploaded to our website soon after the recording each week on Thursday evening. This can be found by visiting dtnhemel.org.uk. If you wish to listen on Alexa, say, Alexa, open the Talking Newspaper skill. Follow this with Play Decorum Talking Newspaper. Remember, information on local amenities and services follow after the final music of this recording of news on the Memory Stick. For those who are listening to this week's news on Memory Stick, please remove your Memory Stick carefully from the player and return it to us in the pouch provided. Turn the label over and post it back to us at the Adeyfield Community Centre, the Queen's Square, Hemel Hempstead, HP2 4EW, using any Royal Mail postbox. No stamp is required. Thank you for listening. Until next time, it is goodbye from all your readers, the editor, and Martin, your technician for this week.